The way I always heard the story was that Van Halen had something in the contract that they used when they toured that said that everywhere that they went, in every city, in every dressing room on their tour, there had to be a bowl of M&Ms, and that the brown M&Ms had to be removed. It's kind of a well-known story, I think, and the way that I understood it is that it showed, you know, what divas, rock stars could be, that any whim that they had would have to be met, no matter how petty. You hate brown M&Ms, poof, they will cease to exist in your world. And then a couple of years ago, we had this band, They Might Be Giants, on our radio show. And by the way, you're listening to This American Life from WBEZ Chicago, distributed by Public Radio International. Anyway, we had this band on the show, and I got to know them a little bit. And I had never talked to a touring rock musician about that story. And I remember John Flansburgh saying to me, no, I had the meaning of the story totally wrong.
I think there was only one no, Ira.
This is John. I asked him to come and talk about this with me again today here on the radio. He told me that the music industry name for what we were discussing was the contract writer.
The thing that the average rock fan doesn't realize is that in the itinerant life of somebody in a rock band, they're relying on a promoter, probably a different promoter every day, to give them everything. And a contract writer is basically the entire show from beginning to end. I mean, you're talking about personnel, you're talking about the PA. So a lot of it's very prosaic stuff. People really focus on the dressing room stuff, but actually it's, you know, most of it is just making sure that there's literally enough electricity in the venue so that the show doesn't end after 10 minutes.
And this, Flansburgh says, was what was so ingenious about the brown M&Ms. Van Halen had this huge setup with lots of gear, and if the local promoter didn't carefully read the contract writer, stuff could collapse. It could be dangerous. So the brown M&Ms were like the canary in the coal mine. The contract writer said the brown M&Ms were not supposed to be there. If they were there, look out.
You know, it was a very clever way to make sure that all the specifics of his contract writer were going to be met, including technical requirements, safety requirements, all the things that David Lee Roth is probably more worried about than his actual M&M needs.
Yeah, actually, in his autobiography, he writes this. I found this on Snopes.com. He explains the M&Ms this way. David Lee Roth writes, Van Halen was the first band to take huge productions into third-level markets.
Tertiary markets is the word we use.
Tertiary markets. We'd pull up with 9 18-wheeler trucks full of gear in places where the standard was 3 trucks max, and there were many, many technical errors. Whether it was the girders couldn't support the weight, or the flooring would sink in, or the doors weren't big enough to move the gear through. The contract writer read like a version of the Chinese Yellow Pages because there was so much equipment and so many human beings to make it function. So just as a little test,
right,
an article number 126 in the middle of nowhere was, quote, there will be no brown M&Ms in the backstage area upon pain of forfeiture of the show with full compensation, end quote. So, he writes, when I would walk backstage, if I saw a brown M&M in that bowl, well, line check the entire production, guaranteed you're going to arrive at a technical error. They didn't read the contract. Guaranteed you'd run into a problem. Sometimes it would threaten to destroy the whole show. Sometimes literally life-threatening.
Wow.
Now, when I emailed you to see if you wanted to come on the radio and talk about this, you said, oh, that's really a coincidence because you just spent your whole day yesterday working on your contract writer.
Basically, a couple of days ago, I was looking at the contract writer, which was 25 pages long, and I realized it was this crazy Frankenstein document that there was some really odd vestigial stuff. I mean, I actually found... We have all these personnel requirements for, like, loaders and electricians and fly riggers and all these people. You know, there's, you know, 30 people that the promoter is going to hire on our behalf. And they have very specific job descriptions. But in only half of them, did we require that they be sober?
Wait, your contract for some of them says specifically they
have
to be
sober? Well, it was just, you know, it was such a hodgepodge that, like, we had, in some cases, what had happened is we had had a bunch of loaders that had come in from another show the night before that had ended at 5 in the morning, and they came into our show at 7 in the morning to literally do another show. And they all got drunk in the couple of hours in between. So in our contract writer, we said the loaders have to be sober. But unfortunately, like the way a contract reads, it looks like you're kind of implying that everybody else can be drunk. And no one had ever thought to, you know, to cross it out.
Is there an M&M's clause in your contract?
There are some, you know, it's such a personal thing. It's like asking somebody what's in their, you know, medicine chest, you know. There are no M&Ms on our, I mean, we have like hummus and tabbouleh and like a lot. I mean, you would think it was Sarah McLaughlin the way our contract writer reads.
I mean more, is there an M&Ms clause? Is there a thing in your contract that you put in there to be sure that people read the contract?
I think like the first line of our contract is the promoter needs to call our tour manager when he gets this rider. And that's basically, you know, just getting good communication going rather than, you know, bullying and threshold tests is the way we do it.
And so if you don't get the call, you know, like, all right.
Yeah. And believe it or not, they oftentimes they don't call. They've got other things to do.